How many of you could say that you had some wonderful Christmas holidays? Someone asked me this morning, they said, did you have a nice Christmas? I said, oh, it was a horrible Christmas. It was horrible. Horrible holidays. I said, I had to spend time with my family. I had to eat good food. You know, I got some gifts and presents. It was just horrible. No, it was a blessing. It was a real blessing. And the Christmas holidays certainly provide a lot of opportunities for us to not only celebrate the birth of Jesus, but just to take advantage of the time with family and friends and loved ones. And it's just a wonderful time. If you haven't figured it out by now, I love Christmas. I do. It's probably hands down my favorite holiday. The decorations, the music, the exchange of gifts, spending time with family, and of course, last but certainly not least, the celebration of Jesus' birth. I love Christmas. The anticipation of the Christmas holidays, it puts me in high spirits. I get excited. I'm just eager. I'm thrilled over it. But how about when it's over? Certainly, there's lots of torn, if not shredded, wrapping paper. And for many, that's just a mess to clean up. And they start concentrating on three more months of winter. There's gift bags and bits of ribbon to be discarded. Did you know there are entire websites devoted to how to properly discard of or recycle used Christmas cards, name tags, broken ornaments, and burnt out strings of light? And there are a few things more depressing after Christmas to me than dried up Christmas trees lining the streets waiting for pickup. It can be a bit anticlimactic, can it? Especially when it comes to taking down the decorations. At our house, that includes a lot. And we're going to wait a week or so to really get into that, of course. But we'll be packing away the seasonal towels and curtains, and pillows, and clocks, and dishes, etc., etc. And of course, if we have them, we're all going to be packing away our nativity sets, correct? My least favorite job of all is dealing with the Christmas lights. That's always my least favorite thing. Putting them up, taking them down, because they always seem to be tangled, and no matter how I try to store them, where I won't have that problem the next time, I have that problem. And even I'm trying to take them off the tree and down from the house very carefully, they still seem to get tangled up. Is there anything we can do to keep the Christmas spirit burning besides this? After Christmas sales, I love the signs. No, actually, I don't. That say, price is so low, we can't show them to you. Any of you see those? You might see it on a website. You see it. Prices are so low right now, we can't show them to you. Why? Are you afraid I'm going to have a heart attack? If you're afraid of that, well, what about when I get there and see the prices? When I fall over then? What's the issue here? Oh, what marketing, huh? But is that how you keep Christmas going? Is just by more after Christmas sales? Well, maybe we should just leave the lights up. Wait a minute. I've heard they do that in the South. No offense, Christine. I've heard they do that in the South some places, you know, but, you know, just leave them up all year. Well, and it would be nice maybe if we could somehow get some kind of a, work on this somebody, where you could have some kind of a timer where it would change with the season. Leave the lights up, you know, and it would change like Easter time. It would look more like Easter eggs hanging up there maybe, you know, and then 4th of July and Memorial Day, it would be red, white, and blue lights, and then, you know, maybe, I don't know, harvest time, you know, would it be all orange or orange and black for Halloween, I guess. You know, somebody come up with that. Maybe I can just leave them up all year long and it just changes with the season. That would be great. Yeah, I don't think that would work. I don't think just keeping the decorations up or out would keep the spirit alive. Do you? But do we have to put away the Christmas spirit along with the decorations? Most people would insist that it's unrealistic to think we can keep up the momentum. And forgive me for always trying to be optimistic about these things, but I strongly believe that believers have all we need to keep the heart of Christmas beating strongly all year long. How? Again, not by keeping the holiday lights on or the decorations out, but through what I would challenge you to think of as post-Christmas giving. Because when you think about Christmas, and we've celebrated this year particularly, our theme has been about gifts, about God's gift to us, and about us giving to others, about gifts. So could we concentrate on post-Christmas giving, giving after Christmas? Did you know that Mary and Joseph gave the gift of doves to God at least 33 days after the first Christmas? That would have been in keeping with the law, according to Leviticus chapter 12. That after her purification, it says, and it specifies how much time that would be, that that's when they went to the temple with Jesus and they gave doves to God. And it goes after Christmas. And we mentioned the wise men several times already this morning. They brought their gifts to Jesus as much as 24 months after he was born. That's what the account in Matthew 2 suggests. The timing of the appearance of the star, the subsequent visit of the Magi to a house rather than a manger, the fact Herod ordered toddlers as well as infants to be slain, it indicates there was a passing of time between the birth and their visit. But we know, again, as we've said, they brought gifts. They brought gifts. Sounds like post-Christmas giving, doesn't it? But what motivated it? Decorations? Well, there was a star in the sky. But decorations, is that what motivated it? Was it motivated by songs being sung? Was it motivated by the seasonal scents? What motivated? Well, in the first instance, it was because Joseph and Mary were righteous people, the scripture tells us. They wanted to express gratitude to God for Jesus and to ask his blessing upon their family. That's what motivated that. Think about it a minute. Should we follow suit? Should we not be expressing gratitude to God for Jesus even after Christmas? Should we not be asking for God's blessing on ourselves and our family even after Christmas? In the second situation, the Magi, the wise men, they wanted to show honor and ascribe worth to the one they understood would be the King of Kings. Again, shouldn't that serve as an example for us? They traveled a great distance to bring him treasures. Should we not bring him gifts suitable for the king, even after Christmas? Yet the spirit of Christmas is more than just giving gifts to God, giving gifts to Jesus. Think about it. It's not just that we go to church an extra time or two in the month of December. Many tend to go an extra time or two. There's some extra services many times, such as our Christmas Eve service. It's not about just putting a little extra in the plate because we feel motivated, you know, to give and then the church be benevolent towards others. But don't we find ourselves, again, giving gifts to our family and friends? It's not their birthday. It's not their anniversary. It's all because of Jesus. Isn't it? Do we give extra gifts? And I'm not just talking about something wrapped up pretty. I'm talking about giving extra gifts to the poor, to the needy, to our neighbors, I'd be interested to take a poll, but just, you don't have to raise your hand. But did any of you maybe give a gift to someone that you haven't given a gift to any other time of the year? At Christmas time? Did you maybe take a gift to a neighbor or to a post person, I gotta say? Or to someone that you do business with? Did you maybe do that? Did you feel motivated to give gifts to someone that you normally don't give gifts to? We have a guy that works for Federal Express that stops here quite regularly, and he stopped in just the other day to bring something and drop it off. Really a neat guy. I've had some great conversations with him, and I had a gift for him. Just gave him a little gift, just a token. And he told me he's retiring. This is his last time I would see him probably in that situation. But, you know, that used to be the thing that people did. They just gave gifts to those people that served them in some way throughout the year. It's almost passed away as a tradition, but many people always felt motivated to do that. Did you find yourself feeling, sensing a bit more of a peaceful spirit? And did you find yourself expressing goodwill to people more than maybe normal? I mean, how many of you said Merry Christmas to someone you don't know? Whether it was at the store or just passing by. Again, we traveled on Christmas Day to Michigan to see my daughter, and we stopped off at the the little rest stop there, and we stopped off at restaurants, and everybody I passed, I was saying Merry Christmas to. And they were saying it to me too. And I don't know them, might not ever see them again. But we're expressing goodwill. And those are gifts of encouragement, aren't they? And there's a sense, see, where we ought to be God's messengers to take gifts and to give gifts to others. Not just at Christmas time, but all the time. Shouldn't we be expressing goodwill and wishing blessings upon people and pronouncing that upon people all the time? Even after Christmas? We don't have to say Merry Christmas, but we could certainly pronounce a blessing upon them, could we not? Have a blessed day. Try that on for size. Just tell me, have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. In a sense, we are to be, I mentioned the guy from the Express Delivery Service, but in a sense, we ought to be God's UPS and FedEx service. We ought to be people he's dispatched, again, to go into the world, right, and take gifts to them in his name, from him, through us. Amen? We should be doing that. Now, I don't know about you, but normally if I see a truck pull up in front of my house like that, and I see the guy get out, I'm kind of glad. There's something that I've ordered or something someone sent me that I'm about to receive, and my spirits immediately go up. Wouldn't it be great if when people saw you, their spirits were lifted, their spirits were raised, they had anticipation that, you know what, there's a blessing coming my way through that messenger. Wouldn't that be great? Isn't that the way it ought to be? The way it should be year-round. We're to be his messengers. I want you to pay close attention to some excerpts from 1 John chapter 4. Not John chapter 4, but 1 John 4, as we're going to talk about the Christmas spirit. And not just a spirit that is alive at Christmas time as we see it, but a Christmas spirit that should prevail and be sustained throughout the year. Now, you can open your Bibles there, but some of the text, the primary text that I'm going to be reading from, is going to be on the screen for you. I'm going to begin in verse 2 from 1 John chapter 4. John writes this: "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And I'm going to pause right there. Do you notice that reference to the incarnation? Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Huh. There's a reference there to God becoming flesh. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Wasn't an apparition. Wasn't an angelic visit. This was God in flesh. Jesus Christ came in flesh. We celebrate that, do we not, at Christmas time. But should we celebrate it only at Christmas time? When we acknowledge, when we admit, when we confess that Jesus Christ came in flesh, that God in flesh visited the earth, that the Emmanuel has come, not just at Christmas time, but came for all humanity, guess what? The Spirit of God is alive and well. Isn't that what it says? Reading on, now in verse 7. It says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Another reference to the incarnation, isn't it? This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We know that He was sent not just to be living among us, but to give His life for us, to sacrifice Himself. It's a testimony, God's love. We sing that at Christmas time so much. We talk about the gift of love in the manger, do we not? About the gift of love from God, Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never really looked at this passage as a Christmas time passage. But it sure is about God becoming flesh, isn't it? Dwelling among us. God's love demonstrated. Now, listen closely and look at the rest of the chapter. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. That this is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit. It goes on to say, and we have seen and testified the Father has sent His Son to do Savior of the world. There it is, sent His Son. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Now, it appears to me that John is telling us, in essence, that the spirit of Christmas is Christ in the world. And as much as we allow for Christ's Spirit to dwell in us, the more He is active in the world, and the more He is revealed in the world, and the more He will be acknowledged in the world. That Jesus Christ came in flesh. And when the Spirit of Christ inhabits flesh, there's an incarnation. There's an incarnation. And God's love is made complete. God's love is made real to the world in tangible ways, invisible ways. It's not just a Christmas hymn then. It's Him in us. Wow. When we love others, showing care and compassion throughout the year, the spirit of Christmas burns brightly. When we freely give without expecting anything in return, when we find joy in helping others, not expecting them to do anything for us, When we find reason for happiness in alleviating the pain and the heartache of others. When our selfishness is swallowed up in service to others. When we generally care more for people than for things. The spirit of Christmas lives and it endures. Even Scrooge eventually got that. We generally watch at least one version of the Christmas Carol every Christmas season, sometimes more than one. But in every one, Scrooge finally says, after the visit of Christmas past, the spirit of, the Christmas present spirit, and the Christmas future spirit, he says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Minister and author Dr. Roy L. Smith wrote, he who has not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree. So we may pack away the decorations, and we may put the ornaments in storage, and we may kick the tree to the curb, but we can maintain the spirit of Christmas all year long. Why? He's given us not only a babe in a manger, he's given us his spirit to live in our hearts. One of my favorite Christmas songs is a contemporary one. It's been out for a couple of years. Matter of fact, in our prelude today, it was the very first song on the roster there. It's called This Is Christmas by Cutlass. The chorus goes, what is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas if the angels never sang glory to the newborn King? What is Christmas without Christ? Well, quite frankly, all we'd have is a mess. What is the rest of the year without Christ? A lot less than God intends for it to be. And we bring our mess to the Messiah, though, to Christ. Oh, it takes on a whole new look, doesn't it? He forgives us, empowers us, and he will change us. Because Jesus is the heart of Christmas. And since the Spirit of Christ dwells in every Christian, so does the heart of Christmas. And not just at Christmas time. So let us live and love as Jesus would. Let's be givers. Let's give ourselves the way he did. Let's give to others as he did. Let's put others before ourselves as he did. Let's live in love, is what John said. And when we live in love, love moves us. Spurs us, does it not, to give, even after Christmas. Because it's not someone giving to us that motivates us to give back to them, but it is Christ in us that motivates us to give as he gave to us. The spirit of Christmas can continue to burn brightly, or in reality, Christmas is Christ in the flesh. Christ in the flesh. Let's flesh him out. What do you say? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For your gift of love in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge today, we affirm today, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And the church says, amen. We believe that. We're convicted of that. But let's also be convicted, Father, that Jesus came in the flesh, not just to live and then die and go to heaven and leave us alone, but for him to ascend that the Spirit might descend and dwell within us. And then another incarnation might take place. That the gift of your Spirit, the gift of Christ within us, would enable for us to be givers and lovers like you are, Father. We thank you, we praise you, we ask you to help us to depend upon you. Not ourselves, not our own strength, but on you. To be your messengers to goodwill and peace and love to this world. May the spirit of Christmas, may the spirit of Christ be plain, be evident to all. In Jesus' name, amen.